on the book of Genesis. Maybe had two of them, actually. And now we're going to study on Wednesday nights Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11. Those 11 chapters are some of the most important chapters that there are in the Bible. You'll notice here in Genesis 1, it says the first three verses, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Sometimes when I speak or when I give a command, nothing happens. Just like, you know, nobody obeys, nobody listens, nobody pays attention. But I say it anyway. You tell a child, most of you are parents, you tell a child three or four times, and it's like, why don't you obey me? What's wrong with you? But you know, when God speaks, every time God speaks, something happens. When we read earlier in Psalm 33, verse 9, the Bible said, "For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood still." When God speaks, things happen. Now in Genesis, you'll notice there in verse 3, if you know the creation account, you know it said, "And God said." In verse 6, it said, "And God said." In verse 9, it says, "And God said." In verse 11, "And God said." And all the way down through the 6 days of creation. Every time God gave a command, it was obeyed. Now, this book, Genesis, begins, "In the beginning, God created." There are actually three books in the Bible that begin with "in the beginning," or something very, very similar to that. Who knows what they are? Y'all know John, okay? Does anybody know the third one? Nope. Mark. Gotta be John, gotta be in there somewhere. Actually, I didn't know that either till Monday, so don't feel bad, all right? But anyway, we'll get to them. In the beginning, they're all important, by the way. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That was a very important announcement, that Jesus is God. What does that verse do? That verse takes us back to eternity past, when Jesus Christ, the very living Word of God, existed as the eternal Son of God. So that is, Jesus was in eternity past. He never had a beginning. I realize that he came and was born of a virgin, and he took upon the form of a man, but he existed in heaven before that. John was not suggesting that Jesus had a beginning, but that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who existed before all things because he made all things. If you go down, why don't you turn over to John chapter 1 and just for a moment. It's kind of easy to come back to Genesis, so we can do that. John chapter 1. Most everybody probably has these verses memorized. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And then it says this, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." If you go ahead a little bit further to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 16 and 17. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Not only did he create all things, he holds all things together. If God stopped holding things together, it would be a disaster. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. "Hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." So, you can turn to Galatians chapter 3 if you want, but I'm not going to read that right away. But we just happen to be real close to it. So, John tells us that Jesus was the eternal Word and he created all things. Mark opens his gospel with these words, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So that's the third book that begins with the word "beginning" in it. Now, the message of the gospel did not start with John the Baptist, because the good news of God's grace was announced in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. But that did not mean that when John the Baptist came on the scene, who was the forerunner of Christ, that the gospel began to be preached. As recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, God's promise was believed by people throughout the entire Old Testament. And those who believed were saved. they were saved by believing. Now, they didn't know about the cross. They knew a Messiah would come. They looked forward to it. We look back to it. But the idea is they still had to believe. Notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham was Old Testament, right? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Romans chapter 4 carries the same idea with it. The ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, was the beginning of the proclamation of the message concerning Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But it did not begin the gospel message per se. Genesis 1:1 starts out with, in the beginning God, referring to the time when God brought the universe into existence out of nothing. Now, some of you were taught in school, a Big Bang theory happened, and poof, here was the earth. And then this evolved into this, and this evolved into that. And that's a big lie. The Bible knows nothing of evolution. The Bible only knows God created. That's what the Bible knows. Now, one of the reasons that we say that the book of Genesis and the first 11 chapters are so important is this. We refer to it sometimes as Darwinism. If people believe that and embrace that, then obviously they can't believe the Bible. You can't have both. You can't have evolution and you can't have creation, although there are some Christians today that are trying to mix it and they come up with theistic evolution. But in all reality, either God created things, and that's what the Bible says, or they evolved out of something. But anyway, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 is the declaration that God created the universe. I think it makes a whole lot more sense that God created things than something blew up and turned into something else, which is a little bit of a sarcastic. I know that, okay? But the detailed explanation of the 6 days of God's creation work is given in the entire rest of this chapter, in the next one. 32 times in Genesis chapter 1, this creative God is called Elohim. Now, God has different names. This particular one, 32 times here, he's referred to as Elohim. It's a Hebrew name, and it emphasizes God's majesty and his power, because that's what creation emphasizes, his majesty and his power. The covenant names of God, all the Jehovah names, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, and all those, they appear first in Genesis chapter 2. Elohim is a plural noun that is consistently used in connection with singular verbs and adjectives. Now, in Scripture, creation is attributed to the Father in Acts 4, here, and in Acts 4, the Son in John 1, and the Holy Spirit in Psalm 104. So Elohim is a singular name, but it has a lot of plural to it, associated with it, and it brings in all of the Trinity in the creative work. Elohim reveals the power of creating everything by merely speaking the word. God created everything from nothing. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can do that. Matter is not eternal. It began when God spoke every single thing into existence. Now I want to look at a couple more references, if we might here. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Then go a few pages to Colossians chapter 1, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And then there's a couple references in Revelation as well in chapter 4 and in chapter 5. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why God chose to start his creative work with a chaotic mass that was dark, formless, and empty. But the Holy Spirit of God was brooding over the waters, and it would bring out of that chaos beauty and fullness out of emptiness. Now, he can still do the same thing today. I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. You can go there if you want to. With the lives of those who yield themselves to the Lord, God can bring beauty out of anything. There is no person so defiled that God can't take them and mold them and make them and save them, and they can become a vessel fit for the master's use. Nobody has ever crossed over that border, I don't think. Now, the nations that surrounded the people of Israel had ancient traditions that explained the origin of the universe and mankind. There's no Big Bang. There's no evolution. There's no Darwinism. Those things are a hoax. The simple account in Genesis presents us with one God who alone created all things and still in control of his creation. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God creates. Now, if the Darwinism people can get you to doubt that and follow after evolution, you will have every reason to doubt everything else in the Bible. So it's a terrible thing when Mr. Darwin came along. Then, beginning in verse 3, down to verse 13 in Genesis, God formed. Now, there is a pattern to God's activities during the creation week. First, he formed out of nothing, and then he filled what he formed. And he made three spheres of activity: the heavens above, the land masses, and the bodies of water. And then he filled those particular forms with the appropriate forms of life. For instance, on the land masses, he created trees and grass and whatever, and man and animals and all that. In the water, he put fish and different kinds of the kind that breathe air and the other kind that live under the water all the time. And up in the heavens, we've got birds and bees and bats and things like that. But he said in verse 3, I find this interesting. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Where did the light come from? The lights weren't created yet. The lights aren't the moon, the sun, and the stars, the lights. The lights aren't created till the fourth day of creation. So where did the light come from? Well, the light came from God himself. On day one, God commanded the light to shine. And then he separated the light from darkness. But the lights don't come around, the sun, the moon, and the stars, until Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 19. So it came from God himself, who was the light. When you continue reading, and we read the first three verses in John 1, but if you get down to verse 5, it says, he is the light of the world. And then when you get over to Psalm 104 and verse 2, it says that God wears light as a garment. The eternal city in Revelation 22, the new heaven, will enjoy endless light without the help of the sun or the moon, because Christ himself will be the light of it. There can be light before God created the lights. Life as we know it can't exist without the light of the sun. Paul saw that in his creative act, the work of God in the new creation and the salvation of the lost, that God can come in and create spiritual light in them. Now in Scripture, light is associated with Christ. It's associated with the Word of God. It's associated with God's people and God's blessings. Remember in Matthew, ye are the light of the world, and ye are the salt of the earth. So it's associated with those things. Darkness is associated with Satan, sin, death, spiritual ignorance, and divine judgment. God separated light from darkness because they have absolutely nothing in common. He will also separate the waters. He will separate those from above and those from beneath. He also separated the land from the waters. Now, God told Israel to separate from the nations around them. We are to be separated. That is, we are to be careful in our walk and not be defiled by the world. You see, God established the principle of separation right into creation when he separated all those things. So separation has always been something that God has been into. On day two, verses 6-8, I'm not going to read them all. He separated the waters and he made the sky. The word heaven, I will mention, has three uses in the Bible. Sometimes it refers to heaven as to where the abode of God is. Sometimes it refers to where the orbit is. And sometimes it refers to the tops of the trees and where the birds fly around. But the firmament, that is the word firmament is used there. I didn't read down far enough. Where was it? I didn't mark it in my notes. In the midst. Okay, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, evidently, the firmament held moisture from above. I don't know if you know this or not, but it never rained from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 6. It never rained before the flood. So that's why when Noah went out, and we'll study this, when Noah said, when someone says, Mr. Noah, exactly what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Why? Going to be a flood. You're crazy. You're nuts. It's never, he probably told them it's going to rain. They didn't even know what he was saying. It's never rained before. God watered the plants with the firmament from above, like a nice dew every morning, and then from underneath as well. But it held moisture. On day three, he caused the dry ground to appear. He made the earth and he made the seas. Moses made it very clear that God made these, that there was one true God who created them. Now, Israel's pagan neighbors had their own myths about the heavens and the earth and the seas. Darwinism is actually rooted in paganism. A lot of people don't understand that. And then in verse 10, God looked at what he created. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he the seas, and God saw that it was good. So what God created was good. He brought forth plant life. Then God filled it all up. Let me read a little further in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So now he creates the lights, the sun, the moon, the stars. Can you imagine God saying, let there be a sun, or let there be a moon, or let there be stars, and there they are. And let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And if you go down through and read all the way to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and I'll just read verse 7 for now, but we're going to come back to this. Verse 7 said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I do want to mention something there. The New King James Version Bible, and I checked this out myself, where it says, and man became a living soul, they changed the word soul. And they change it to being. Now, there is a difference between a living soul and a living being. I think it is a terrible change. I think anything that's a change is a bad change, okay? But I think that was like really bad, if I can say it like that. But anyway, that's what they did. So in the first 3 days, God created the land, the seas, and the sky. And then he fills them up. And all that to say this, when God speaks, things happen. And God can still speak. And if God speaks today, whatever he speaks, you know what's going to happen? Whatever it is. Exactly the way that he wants it to be. Anyway, my time is up for our Bible study. Let's pray, and we'll pick up there next week. Our Father, as we look at this creation of yours, and of course we'll move on to the flood and the Tower of Babel and all of those things, Lord, help us to get grounded in this fact of creation. That evolution really is a sad thing that came about, rooted in paganism, but Lord, really expanded upon by Darwin in our time. And now we have millions upon millions of people who believe that there was this Big Bang theory and things have just evolved, which when we study science doesn't even make sense. Things don't evolve, things decay. So I pray that we would be able to communicate to our children, our young people, the truth of your creation, and that they would stand strong on that as well. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read you some missionary letters.